Unbelievable. You want to try this again?
Let's do it.
All right.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the show of douchebaggery at its finest.
And we're full of badassery on this show. You know what I mean?
You know, we're just a couple of idiots. I can't believe people actually download this show.
Rules, rules, rules. I feel like we're on the Brady Bunch and I'm Jan. You know what I mean?
If you are new to the show and your ears start bleeding after listening, don't worry. That is a common side effect.
I was a good bowler until I lost my balls. You know what I mean?
Oh, what a douche I am.
Because I ain't got nothing to hump come rut. You know what I mean?
This podcast is almost about bow hunting.
You're talking to the wrong guy. I just do a hunting podcast. You know what I mean?
This is the Great Gatsky from Crete, Illinois, and you're listening to Backwoods Bow Hunter with Tim and Mike. You know what I mean?
Hey, boy, Todd.
Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. I don't even know where to begin anymore. Let's begin by doing this.
Oh, what a douche I am.
Yes.
We'll definitely throw that in there.
What a douche I am. So we just recorded about 12 or 14 minutes of Backwoods Bowhunter podcast. For me to look down and realize the record button on my device was still green when it should be red.
And it was really quality shit. I mean, this was what was probably going to take off our careers.
Oh, my gosh.
Now all the good shit's gone.
So I got mad at myself and went and grabbed a Miller Lite.
I may have peed a little laughing.
Well, Todd, thanks for leading us into the show yet again.
Yep. For the second time today.
Appreciate you.
You didn't hear the first one, though.
Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast is brought to you by Third Axis Outfitters, and this is episode number 66.
66.
Seems like I've said that before.
I thought it was 67 because I thought we already recorded 66, but apparently not.
We kind of did.
Hey, if we do shit like that every day, we'll hit that 100 in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Oh, man. And as I said earlier, I don't think anybody gives a shit, but this is season 2 of Backwoods Bowhunter.
Yep.
Episode 47.
Season 2.
Season 3 will be kicking off on 10-1.
Shoo!
Ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right.
I am ready.
So I will ask you yet again, how was your week?
My week was fabulous.
Good.
Yeah. Got out, got some work done on the property, got some trails cleaned out, got some cameras up, checked on a couple stands, and I'm ready to bump. Also did a show Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And injured yourself.
Well, I may have. I can't let the wife know, though, because if she finds out, then it's...
I told you you're too old.
And I'm not too old, so bam, there we go.
So was that like an exact reproduction of her voice right there? Or?
I will not comment on that, yes or no.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, as I've said once, we recorded on Wednesday, as we usually do, and I turned around Thursday and headed to Nashville, took the family to, it was my daughter's birthday gift from when she, in March, but we went yesterday, or Thursday rather, down to Franklin, Tennessee to see Cody Johnson in concert. And if you're into country music or the Texas style of country music, Cody Johnson is legit, y'all. It was a great show.
Yeah.
Top two show I've ever seen. He's very high energy and just pours his sweat out there putting on a performance. So
nice.
It was good stuff. And then we had to turn around. I hate repeating all this. I had to turn around on Friday morning. We had a certain time we had to get out of Tennessee because we had to be back here by 2:30 p.m. to close on our property.
Yeah,
I'm not missing that.
Nope.
And we got to Clarksville, and all we saw was flashing signs, expect long delays, long delays. I'm like, shit, this isn't good. And
thought you were back in Illinois already.
Yeah. Our ETA of arriving home was going to be 1:51 p.m., which was great because that puts us 40 minutes ahead of the closing time. And I sat and gradually watched that creep later and later and later till we were way above and beyond past our closing time. So I'm like, I don't know what we're going to be able to do here. And about that time, it offered up a would you like to be rerouted option. So we took that, and it led us out into the country around Clarksville and a bunch of back roads, and eventually put us back on the interstate again on the other side of that construction zone, and worked out perfectly. We ended up home by 2 o'clock.
So. As long as you made it.
And we went and closed.
Good deal.
So all mine.
It looks like mine, it's mine, yours mine. Now.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah. When I look out, I'm like, oh, that shit's Tim's.
I asked the lady for the keys.
And she didn't give them to you?
I said, when do I get the keys? And she had that look on her face like, is he serious?
She's like, is there a house on there I forgot about?
She goes, keys to what?
Keys to my happiness, lady.
Yes. And then my buddy Mark called me, and he says, what are you doing tomorrow? I kind of want to get out and do something. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, what do you think about going golfing? So I'm like, man, I haven't golfed in a decade.
Could be bad.
Last year, I bought a brand new set of golf clubs. I was pretty excited about because I was wanting to get back into playing around the golf here or there. But I'm like, dude, I just told him straight up. I'm like,
yeah,
you're fully aware of the shit show that I am in golf, right? I mean,
you know what's coming.
Yeah. And he's like, it's all good. So we got out there, and I ended up shooting the best round of golf I've ever shot.
Yeah, big deal.
Yeah. However, with that said, 9 holes, he shot 6 over par.
6 over par?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, this guy golfs.
Yes.
Okay.
I shot 19 over on 9 holes.
Hey, let's start. Tiger probably didn't do any better his first time out.
Probably not.
No. Well, he might have.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Never mind.
And that 19 over is not exactly 19 over.
Legal.
Because when the ball landed somewhere that I really just didn't feel like shooting from there, I kind of would use the old foot and move it a little bit.
Well, let's be clear.
Let's kick it over here about 6 yards.
There's no rules for us.
You know, that tree's in the way. Yeah. Let's move it. Yeah.
You're not going to hit a tree.
No.
That's just stupid.
Oh, why would you do that?
Yeah, I was out that day with that, Jack, Jack Mehoff, remember him?
Yeah.
I was out with him, and he's like, I'm going to have to pitch this over the tree. And I'm like, I would have pitched it 3 foot to the left and hit it right past the tree, but you do what you got to do, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So he did, and he hit it over the tree. Don't know how.
Yeah, I'm not that guy.
No, if I would have done that, it would have went right into the tree straight back and probably caught one of us with a crotch shot, which would have been great for camera, but there was nothing filming, so...
Oh, I had fun though. You know, I mean, I think part of my problem when I last played was I was quite a bit younger, and I used to get pissed off and want to take my clubs and chuck them half across the country every time I made a bad shot.
Yep.
And Saturday I didn't give a shit.
No. Like,
whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I just had fun with it, so I had a good time.
That's where I'm at in life, and it turns out a lot better.
Yeah.
Oh, it's easier to hit the ball. I mean, I still get angry if I do like 5 or 6 good holes in a row, and then I'm like, bad shot, then I get mad. Or if one of the kids do something stupid, and then I yell at them. But it's their fault, so.
Yeah, that one's.
It's normal.
You should do that anyway.
Yeah. Daily.
Today, we were going to go in the backwoods talking about early season deer hunting and how to increase daylight activity in food plots. So you have early season success.
Am.
And with that said, I like I feel like I've said this before, I am the furthest thing in the world from an expert on this, just going by personal experience. And you replied?
I replied that sometimes personal information from a non-professional is better than what you read, because some of that stuff that you read is almost impossible to recreate, as opposed to someone who said, well, all I did was this and it worked for me. Well, I'm going to try the easy route and see if that works for me before I go to the extensive route of step A, step B, step C. You know what I mean?
Roger.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to take your knowledge and I'm probably going to run with it.
It's cool. You'll be a winner, man.
I'm sure I will. I'm a winner.
How about we get interrupted for the second time?
I guess.
As always, we bring you incredibly mediocre content in a completely meaningless way from the heart of Big Buck Country, right here in the Whiskey and Whitetail Studio.
You, sir, had some more tidbits that we didn't get into last week on the trail camera stuff that you threw out there when we were on the green button.
Yeah. Before we recorded.
Do you want to throw it out there again?
Yeah. We talked about placements, locations, you know, how many you put out trail cams last week. Yep. But two things that I figured out this weekend when I was going out was, one, how many pictures you're taking. Because I have, with the Spy Point, you get 100 free pictures a month. And sometimes that's all you need. You know, if you just got a path where they're crossing through, you may get 50, 60, 100 pictures, 200 pictures in a month. Well, I blew up both of those programs in 2 days. By Sunday, I was capped. 100, gone. So I was like, well, that sucks. So I had to upgrade it to the 1,000 pictures, which is only $10 a month for each camera. So it's $20. It's not bad. But I changed the one photo because it's an area where they kind of stick around. So I changed that one to only take a picture every 3 minutes. And right now I'm still getting pictures from that one. And I'm just not getting 40, 50 pictures every time it transmits to me. I'm only getting, you know, 8 to 9 now instead. So that's working out better. And then the second thing was, is I try to take the area around it to prevent those nonsense pictures where you're flipping through and be like, well, I don't know what's in there. Either there's a lot of ghosts running around or just a hyperactive camera. But I try to knock down any brush, tall grass, anything that's going to sway in front of the camera within, you know, between where I want the pictures to be and my camera. I kind of walk and stomp them down a little bit. And this way it prevents that from blowing in front of the camera. So I kind of get less BS photos.
Yeah.
Did it get dark outside?
It might have.
That's creepy.
I think it could be wrong that Spy Point is the only cell camera company that still offers a free package.
Yeah.
But the problem is, for me, is with the, you get the 100 free picks, and they're usually burned up in just a few days. And on my cameras anyway, maybe 20% of those pictures will be a deer on the hoof, and the rest of them are a plethora of whatever, you know, a coon or a squirrel or a bird that flew by it, or just movement
butterfly.
of a weed, you know, or a limb or something, you know.
Yeah. So
you almost have to subscribe. Yeah.
Now they have one. I think they have a 200 or 300. Maybe it's a 500. I can't remember. I think it's 200 or 300 package, and then they have the 1,000, and they have the unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
The unlimited is what I got last year. And it really makes no sense to get it because I really don't, I don't care what's out there February 1st. Because at that point, I don't want to see a big deer because then I'll be pissed. You know, after January 17th.
So you're buying them the year at a time?
I did.
To get the discount?
I did, just because it's like,
I was
going
to say, if you're doing the month-to-month, you can always downgrade it.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it, is because I could do the month-to-month, and I only really need it for 4 or 5 months, and then knock it down. So I spend $20 for two cameras, so you're talking, I'm going to spend maybe $120, $160 bucks. That package for the whole year for one camera was $100, or $120.
Right.
So, and that was unlimited photos, but $1,000... I think is going to be pretty much significant. So I'm willing to give it the old college try and see if I can get away for $20 for two cameras as opposed to $120 for one.
Yep.
And then February, or, you know, right at the end of the deer season, call them up, cancel them both, go back to the free. And then if I pick up any pictures through February, March, April, May, June, July, whatever.
You have to call them? Can you not just change it on your...
I guess I could change it on my phone.
Yeah, I think you just log into your account and you can adjust it. I thought, anyway.
Yeah.
I may be wrong. I don't know.
I drove out there to change the photos from 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
One minute to 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I get out there and I open the damn camera and I'm looking. I'm like, shut the camera, turn around, open up the app, and I changed it right there.
I was going to say, you could have done that from home.
Yeah, I'm a dumbass. Now, the one I got in the back, I just have the actual little mount that goes on that has the cord that goes into a regular trail cam. That one, you have to change the trail cam. You can't change that one by phone.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah,
Yeah,
I changed. I don't have any of those. I've got the ones that are all into the device itself.
Well, I'm ordering another one because Todd sent us that link the other day for the $119 for the solar one.
Mm-hmm.
And that solar one, I love it so far. It's still showing 100% battery.
Nice.
I mean, I know it's only been a week, but still, everything's, I mean, even it seems like it's getting better activity or antenna strength than the other one is. So,
good. Hey, check out our most popular downloaded episodes. I'm going to ask everybody in the listening audience, if you have not played episode 52, Deer Tracking Dogs with Tony Dempsey, to download it and play it, because Tony's got a huge ego. We got to inflate this ego.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just huge, off the charts ego.
It's ridiculous.
Which, of course, I'm kidding. I'm very kidding, Tony. He is only one download behind our most downloaded episode. Damn. Only one away. Only one. So episode one still remains our most downloaded episode. Back then, it wasn't even Backwoods Bowhunter. It was Illinois Bowhunter. And then episode 52, Deer Tracking Dogs of Tony Dempsey, only one behind. Episode 51, Drop Away Rests versus Whisker Biscuits, which, of course, has to prompt.
We know what's coming.
I want to talk about Whisker Biscuits, right? And fourth is episode 43, the ideal draw weight for your bow. So check out those episodes if you haven't already, and let's put Tony number one.
Yeah, let's make Tony.
I think we should.
The man.
He is the man. Countdown tracker, opening day in the Illinois, 8 weeks.
57 days.
And you Kentuckians, 45 minutes from here, piss off.
Yeah.
Because they're only like a month.
I know, booger off. That's not fair.
4 weeks away.
There's going to be some velvety deer.
I have a property down there I can hunt, actually. I don't know why I never do. Maybe you ought to
just
change
call
that.
Me. We'll go.
All right. I prefer to send my invites in the mail.
Oh, shit.
Think you
I'm
know
not
that.
Going.
Think you know that.
I'm not going.
You want to do Blue Line Badass?
Yeah.
Even though it's another bad story.
Here's the good thing, though. It'll be the first time we did it today.
It will be. We're finally to the point where we're new content.
All fresh. This is going to surprise me now from here on out.
It's all fresh from here.
Yep.
So I'll show you this picture of this young man. I don't know if that will come across on the screen there. Not that I ever publish these videos anyway, but
hey, just in case.
In case this video ever goes live, you'll see the picture of this young officer.
Yeah.
Elwood, Indiana, which is only about 4 hours, I think, from here when I looked. Police officer was shot and killed during a traffic stop in Elwood, Indiana on Sunday, so just 3 days ago. Officer Noah Shonavaz, I believe is how it's pronounced, age 24, was conducting a traffic stop in Madison County at around 2 a.m. when a suspect exited their car and began firing. For an unknown reason, the suspect exited the Buick and fired multiple rounds, striking the officer. And before additional officers arrived, the suspect fled the scene. Officer Shonavaz was taken to a local hospital and then transferred to Indianapolis, where he died from his injuries. He was a 5-year Army veteran and had been with the police department for only 11 months. Mm. No bueno, man.
I don't like that.
Only 4 hours from here, dude.
Yeah.
And not that it matters where the location is, because it's bullshit across the board. But
it just, and everyone asks, why are cops so hyper? Why are they so, you know, on edge? This is why they're on freaking edge.
Yeah.
Because assholes out there that don't give a shit.
Yeah. No respect for human life whatsoever. Yeah.
Cop pulls you over, take the goddamn ticket, and go on with life.
Mm-hmm.
No, instead we're going to shoot it out and freaking run.
If you don't agree, that's what the court system's for.
Yeah.
If you want to honor a friend or relative who's out there or who has been out there protecting the thin blue line, submit your blue line badass to us at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we get some more favorable ones.
Yes.
Coming at us.
Let us hear about your loved ones. We'd rather talk about... That's right. How happy we are for Johnny celebrating his 20th anniversary as a law dog.
Want to go in the backwoods?
Let's do it.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange. searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. That encounter with a bull elk that is so close, you can feel its breath. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bow Hunter. And now, it's time to go full draw in the backwoods.
Bam. I forgot to unmute on that one.
That time he was just talking while it was, yeah.
We're really just doing well today.
We are on a roll.
I'm trying to keep an eye on her at the same. So she's on a lead on the back porch, so I had nowhere else I could put her in. So
yeah.
I see her head bobbing around up there, so I know she's doing something, probably eating a damn stick or something.
Stick or a bug.
That's what she do.
Eat a bee. It looks like it's got big dummy ears.
Well, that's because it does.
It does. They're huge.
She has huge ears.
That one fits right on.
We're going to talk about early season deer hunting success. Hopefully, everybody out there has early season success. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Early season, especially with mature whitetails, mature bucks, can be very tough, especially if, like me, and I think like you, where they don't live on you, you know.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I rely on rut traffic, you know.
Yeah.
Those bucks traveling through here when they're chasing the punani, that's
an important time for us too.
Prior to that, I don't see very many, and when the ones that I do see aren't mature, you know.
Yeah.
They're the younger ones. So if they don't live on you, you know, you're not, pardon me.
The hell was that?
My phone ringing.
Oh. Damn it, Tim.
I know. It's just going to be one of those shows.
First podcast?
It's just going to be one of those shows. Yeah, this is first time.
I think the first one ran smoother than that.
First time I've ever tried this. when mature bucks are driven to breed, i.e. rut, and... Rut. They're not driven to breed in October, you know.
Yeah,
so
no.
You know that it's hard to get them here. And the other thing too is with weather conditions not being harsh enough to drive them to the food sources.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do? What are some ideas to have early season success, knowing that they're not breeding and knowing that stocking up on food for the harsher winter conditions mm-hmm. isn't quite a thing? They're still going to feed.
Yeah.
Got anything?
Well,
any ideas?
Definitely in October, especially out here, it may be different in some colder states, but out here, I like to hunt around water sources.
Yes.
Or paths to and from water sources.
Absolutely.
Because you can get out there on a day, especially out here, I don't know, and someone in Wisconsin may listen to this and say, how hot did he just say?
Correct.
But 70, we can get 75 degree days in October.
Or warmer. I've known
yeah.
them to be warmer mm-hmm. before, yeah.
But, yeah, you could be sitting out there in 70-degree weather in a T-shirt because it's too damn hot.
I have fought mosquitoes before October 1.
A lot.
Yes.
But, yeah, you get that 70-degree weather, and, yeah, they got to eat, and there's food everywhere at that time, but there's still sections of water holes.
Yeah.
So if you got something near a water hole or a path that goes from food to water, you may have a winning location.
Yep. Whitetail are generally early season. They're generally only on the hoof for about 3 hours a day. That's it. So, bedding areas and not hunting in the bedding area. You want to stay out of the bedding area.
Yeah.
But if you know the funnel to and from the bedding area, that's a good option.
Mm-hmm.
Water sources was number one on my list. I mean, hunting that water source.
Yeah.
If you have it, you know, not every property has a water source, but if your property doesn't have a water source, I would recommend looking at a map of your surrounding properties. That's easy to do on Onyx.
Yep.
Probably Hunt Stand, whatever app you use, and find out where that water source is, because then maybe you'll know the travel corridor from the property you're hunting
yep.
that would lead them to that water source.
Yep.
So that's an option. And then, of course, food plots, feeding areas, whatever. We have friends this time of year. I know you don't like it, but we have friends this year, or this type of this time of year, squirrels are our friends.
I hate squirrels. I hate them.
You may hate them, but right now, acorns are dropping.
Yeah.
Squirrels are our friend, and acorns are, as you know, a huge food source for whitetail.
Yes.
So if you have oaks, that's another location to plant your ass. Hunt those oak trees.
Yep.
That redneck blind that we have out there, it's 3 feet from a giant pin oak. It drops acorns all over the place out there. You know, so that's...
Persimmons are usually starting to drop in October, too.
Yeah.
A lot of persimmon trees. My dad
It's something different.
Yeah. My dad had a nice one, and it was one of my favorite spots to hunt. And it just went down one year. And now they say that there has to be more than one within a certain area because they cross-pollinate, and that's how they bloom and produce the fruit.
Yeah.
So there's got to be another one somewhere because that one, and I don't think they produce fruit every year because, like, there was a couple times I could recall not seeing, like, maybe 5 or 10 on this giant tree, and other years just seeing hundreds. And I would go up sometimes in the morning, and I'd shake the shit out of that tree for a second, and it would, like, rain persimmons down, and then I'd climb up in my tree. Natural bait. It's natural. It's not illegal.
No, not at all.
Shake the shit out of that tree, knock some down, and climb up my stand.
No doubt. The one benefit that we as hunters have this time of year, though, or come hunting season, not right now, but hopefully they haven't gone nocturnal at that point because there's been no pressure on them. Mm-hmm. You know, pressure drives them to go nocturnal. So there's no hunting pressure that's happened at this point. So they should be daylighting.
Yeah.
Should be still.
Every picture of buck I got this week are all 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. So
I've seen numerous, year and a half old bucks, but still they're bucks out here. And I think the most common time of day that I'm seeing them out here in the field is noon. Yeah. You know? So they haven't gone nocturnal yet. Take advantage of that. We talked about last week, trail cameras. If you're not using them and taking advantage of them, use them. I mean, they're not only are they a great tool or a great source to see what your inventory is, but if you really focus on them and pay attention to them, you can get so much intelligence from them. You know, you can get the morning patterns, you can get evening patterns. If you do have a creek and you get a picture of one of them and they appear to be wet, then you know, hey.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, they're crossing this creek. Maybe you build your game plan around that, you know, just as an example. But
well, the camera I showed you that pictures of earlier, that's at a spot I want to put a stand.
Yeah.
That was one of what we talked about 2 weeks ago, is not just put them where your stands are located, but where you're potentially wanting to put a camera. And after what I've seen there, it's definitely getting a stand. Hopefully next weekend. But, yeah, there's definitely one going up there.
Yeah.
So
speaking of that, because that's going to bring up my next point. So what kind of work did you do out there on the property? What'd you get into?
Did you
put in any trails or paths or anything?
I did put
in
trails.
That's kind of where I'm going with it.
Yeah. I pulled up where I, you know, pull in, and I had a weed eat around my truck first. And then I usually basically run off two paths from where I park. There's one to the left that goes down, and that's where I got the water source on two sides. I've got a little pond on the right. It's a real small pond, but it's big enough to attract deer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the neighbor's property across from that has like a 1 acre, 2 acre pond right to my left. So where I'm up in the tree stand, his property goes up and it's like level with me there, but then it drops down and comes down to this property. So I can see deer.
Can you see that water source from where?
Yeah. Okay. Not right now. I can't because of all the trees, but late October, early November, I can see that water and I can see that field. They've got corn up in it this year. So once they whack that corn down, I'll be able to see the downed corn field and that water and see if anything's coming this direction.
Perfect.
But yeah, I got all that going. I went up in the stands. I put a new strap on one stand because it's been up there for years and it's still solid. I mean, I always check the strap all the way around, make sure there's nothing. If I can't see the back, I take my phone record and then reach around the tree, grab it, and then reach around the tree, and then I watch the camera. This way I could see the whole strap all the way around. Strap was fine, but it's been up there for years, so I'm like, I can't see if it's dry rot. So I threw another strap on that one, tightened it down, kept the other one on too, so it's double secure, but this way if that thing...
Well, and that's an easy, cheap...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just do it, you know, right?
Yep. Yeah. Just throw another one on and call it a day.
Yeah,
so I put a new strap on that one, went and checked the other two at that spot, and they were golden and ready to go. Really not much even needed to be cleaned out yet. I mean, from what I seen up there, all my shooting lanes were still good on all those stands. There's one that hangs down, but it was really high up, so I'll have to get like one of those trimmers, the ones that extend up to 15 feet, and reach up and try to knock that one branch out. But that's all that I seen for those three stands. Now, when I get that new one put up, I'll probably have to spend a few minutes on a shooting lane somewhere. But other than that, everything else was ready to go out there. Mikey started out at my dad's, so.
Cool. Well, and you segued into the, I was going to say, hunting travel routes. Especially because, you know, most of the time, deer will take the path of least resistance.
Yep.
It's just what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a few months ago now, and we put in a trail. Elaine and I went out and put in a fresh trail in the woods, and literally the next day, I saw does on it, using it, mm-hmm. Moving from across through here. So that they use those. If you're putting in trails, of course, hopefully by now you're at least, if you haven't started on it, get on it.
Yeah.
But if you're putting in trails, set up hunt locations on those trails, because especially if that trail is going to lead to that water source that we were referring to earlier, or the food plot or whatever, a scrape, whatever it may be.
Because
there's a good chance they're going to follow that path, that clearing.
And they do. I mean, my dad's property is probably, to me, one of the biggest prime examples of that is because he's got 41 acres, whatever it is, 40 acres, but 90% of it's woods, the rest of it's paths, basically coming through the woods, and we constantly, I mean, if they're coming in, don't get me wrong, there's the occasional, I'm coming through the woods because that's how I roll, but most of them come through on some sort of trail or hit a trail and start taking it.
Yeah.
So they'll be walking east-west, hit that trail, and head north-south.
Does he do the landowner permit stuff?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think 40 is the cap there, or the minimum you have to have.
Yep.
Yeah,
he gets my mom's got her FOID card now, so she gets bow and gun tags, and my dad gets bow and gun tags.
Cool.
So
I actually just looked into that this morning because I was thinking, I couldn't remember what the threshold was before you qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we added some property, you know. But
yeah.
So I went and looked, and it's 40 acres, but I'm not quite there.
Well, you have to buy this one next door, too, now.
You know, actually, I just found out yesterday that may either be for sale or
is going to be for sale.
Now, the problem is it's got a shithole of a house on it.
Yeah.
And they're going to want to price that with a structure on it,
mm-hmm.
even though that house is not worth anything but tear down. So, I don't know. I'll keep an eye on it and see what happens, but
yeah,
I wouldn't mind adding it.
We drove by one day, me and Mikey, and I said, man, if they ever sell that, we'll have to buy that and fix that house up, and we'll live right there next door to Tim. I said, Tim will love it.
Yeah.
or not.
don't be deceived.
The
outside of that house gives off the appearance that it could probably be fixed up.
Yeah, but the inside doesn't.
It's trashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's trashed.
I'm sure.
It was a bunch of douchebags that lived there and never took care of a damn thing. And
yeah.
Who knows? I haven't seen the inside of it in years, but
yeah,
it's not worth anything. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Worth some more hunting land for you.
Yes,
that's about it.
That's correct. And as always, most importantly to me, no matter if you're hunting a water source, no matter if you're hunting a scrape, no matter if you're hunting a funnel into a food plot or a funnel into a water source or a field edge or a whatever.
Yeah.
Always hunt the wind.
Yep.
I mean, that is number one rule, hunt the wind. And we have a plethora of tools at our disposal nowadays to tell us what that wind is.
Yep.
You know, there's apps galore that will let you know. So,
Have you noticed on the spy point It has maps on there. Have you ever opened that?
I have not.
It's pretty awesome. You've got an idea to where you locate your cameras. Kind of like the OnX app, mm-hmm. where you say, okay, I'm standing right here. I pin this area. Pin, yeah. That's my stand.
Right.
You do the same thing with your cameras. Wish I knew last year, because I still can't find one of my...
Well, I do. I pin my cameras on the OnX app.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got all those little selections you can choose from, and it's camera or scrape or whatever. So I do that. So I have them pinned where my stands are at, where my cameras are at, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you can do that through SpyPoint as well, is what you're telling me?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of neat, too, because, like, if you put three cameras out, I got three cameras out in that area. Now, one of them is not a SpyPoint, but I still pinned it on there as the third camera, because I put out just a regular camera because I believe the guy who used to own the property, his son's driving his dirt bike through there. So I put a camera up to catch the bike. This way I can be like, hey, listen, I'm food plotting out here. Got cameras out. I really prefer if you don't drive through the property. You could drive across the front, whatever you got to do, but don't drive through. So I put camera out to see if I can catch that.
Yeah.
But I've got three cameras there. So when you draw it up, it shows a three. And then this way, when you zoom in on it, it breaks up from that one pin that says three, and then it breaks up and shows you each one. Because I know the other one, it just shows you you've got something pinned here. But this actually tells you how many you have out and everything.
Cool.
So it's kind of neat.
I'll have to look into that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just found out yesterday, too, you know, I was kind of buying this extra property over here. I had my hopes were the guy who likes to cruise through there on his four-wheeler, you know, checking up on things.
Yeah, just make sure everything's safe.
I was hoping that he would know this is under new ownership and wouldn't come through there at all. But I kind of, the other half of me hoped that he would, because I want to be here when he does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, I found out yesterday that apparently he is in the process of moving, leaving the area. So I guess I won't be given that opportunity to catch him on his four-wheeler out there.
Well, that's one down. Now, if you just get the ones back behind you out,
right,
you'd be golden, Tim.
You know how you could have kept him here?
Huh. One free hand job.
Right. You didn't
he would have stayed.
You didn't offer him that.
He'd have stayed. He'd have stayed.
Let's take a quick commercial pause, and I will go check on the dog, and then we will talk about how maybe some ideas on increasing daylight movement in food plots. Sound okay to you?
Sure.
Unless you're tracking the blood trail on a whitetail, tune in for more of the Backwoods Bowhunter podcast.
We are still recording.
Bam.
And we're not muted.
Nice.
I'm improving here.
That's a really big step up there, Tim.
Making strides.
Really come far.
Oh, so whitetails in food plots. Something that I took these few notes because these are the things that I've seen people do that I'm like, why are you doing that? Entry and exit are so crucial. And these damn deer aren't stupid. They learn your patterns. So I've struggled with it before, too, but you have to be stealthy on how you get in and get out. Because if you get blown out and they develop your pattern, guess what they do? They adapt to that.
Yep.
It's that same thing when you hunt the same tree stand over and over and over. They adapt to that. And the next thing you know, when you see them, they're looking up at you to see if you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and it's no different with food plots. One thing that I... So the point of that is slip in, slip out as undetected as you can be so that you're not compromising educating your deer, and especially mature bucks who are already more weary anyway.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've seen, I'm going to say something I've seen happen before, and then I'm going to say where I've made mistakes before. I have a buddy, I haven't seen him in a number of years, but... gun hunted over a food plot and killed a deer in it and field dressed his deer in the food plot.
Okay.
do not, please, listeners, please don't field dress your deer in or around your food plot, because guess what? Those guts of that deer draw in predators
a lot.
And guess what? Deer do not want to be around.
I'm assuming the predators.
Yep. And I'm not talking about the Nashville hockey team here. Nope. I'm talking about the little critters who you don't want around. So,
and then it'll bring in the coyotes.
I don't know that it's a common practice that people do that, but I know that he has done it, and I'm like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Yeah. So that's the same thing with when you field dress an animal right where you hunt. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
I always drag them away from where you hunt and
take care of business.
Yep. They're definitely easier to move without them 50 pounds of guts in them, but
oh, of course
I just prefer not to have to go out the next day and be like, ooh, I smell them.
Yeah. One thing I've learned the hard way, this is what I was going to get to. I've learned the hard way is to, sometimes even though you want to hunt till dark and not exit your stand until dark, I've learned sometimes an early exit is best, because depending on the hunt location, but I have, and this is again knowing your property and knowing your deer, but yep. I have a couple of spots where they are known to come in there and come in there pretty heavy, either right at dark, just a few minutes before, yeah, or slightly after. Well, if you're sitting in there, now you're stuck. You know, you're not getting out without blowing them. So I don't want to blow it up, you know.
Nope.
So I've learned the hard way, and this is just something I just figured out last year because I'm just that big of a dumbass, that maybe sometimes 15 or 20 minutes before that super common time that I'm used to seeing them in here, I need to go ahead and get out.
Yeah.
You know, that way I'm not running that risk of blowing them up.
Well, I think me and you talked about it, and I'm not sure if it was last week or the week before that, but we kind of talked about, like with me, if I don't want to actually skin that deer up, our processing centers out here, the one I go to at least, later in the season, it closes at like 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 o'clock when it's dark, if you ain't got one already down,
you're
ready to transport,
envelope.
You're pushing, having to say, now I got to hang this sumbitch.
Yeah.
And like we were talking about a few minutes ago, the weather out here, if it's October, early November, you can't let that deer sit overnight.
Right.
Like, I shot one in Chicago. We cleaned it out real good.
You'd be stuffing ice bags in the cavity.
Yeah, you'd be stuffing a lot of ice bags in the cavity and on top and praying to Jesus that when you wake up, it's not, you know, 70 degrees.
Yeah.
But because we don't have that real cold, like Todd's, I shot that one in Todd's last year, and it was pretty damn cold. It was in the 30s. So we just cleaned it real good, threw it in the back of his truck, and grabbed it the next morning and went off to the processing center after our hunt. We didn't mess up a hunt. We still went hunting. And then afterwards, we jumped in the old Batmobile and took off and brought it in.
Cool. I wonder why they close at 6. I mean, I know they have a life. I get
they're
that,
open to 8 right now.
But, you know, they got to know deer hunters are going to be trickling in there well after 6 o'clock sometimes. But.
And I know one of the guys that owned it, and I told him, I said, why do you guys do that? He goes, we just don't have that much business during the week. I said, yeah, but at least Friday, Saturday, Sunday stay open till a decent hour. Because, I mean, I said, I'll tell you right now, there's been deer I've turned down, you know, like had nice doe come in and said, well, that finish up the freezer, and then I can just hunt for, you know, hunt with my boy, you know, and get him out more. And I had a pass on it because there was no way in hell I was going to shoot that deer, gut it, load it, and transport it, especially by myself. Trying to pull a damn deer up into a truck 5 feet up off the ground isn't very easy.
No.
So, or maybe... And a 5 foot, 3.5 foot, but still, it's a pain in the ass by yourself. So I said, I still got to drag that out, clean it. There's no way.
I don't know how many does I've passed on over the years because I didn't want to deal with it. You know, given the maybe it was too hot outside, or you know, I really don't think I'm going to have enough time to field dress it and get it processed. You know, so there's so many of them I've let walk by that. But just based on the current condition,
I'm not opposed to doing it. But there's just days that I don't want to. And it's like, not going to happen. Not going to sit there and spend the next 4 hours hanging, skinning, and cleaning just for, you know, 50 pounds, 40 pounds of meat. Ain't going to happen.
Yep. Nope. I agree. wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do, well, you have anything else before we move on?
I do have one thing. You were talking about, you know, stand locations and stuff. I've heard a lot of times when I tell people that I bought that 10-acre plot and I've got three stands on it right now and I'm my potential is to have five. Why the hell would you have five stands on 10 acres? Because of what you talked about a few minutes ago. You get one area that gets blown up on, you can move to another one on the other side of that, you know, and then you've got a whole new corridor of mm-hmm. deer coming through that area that haven't hit that area. But I just, and not only that, but it's not like we're ever going to be out there and have all five stands occupied.
Well, and your wind conditions aren't
yep.
going to
no.
work for all five
yep.
at the same time.
So that's why I'm all about having multiple stands out, even in small tracts of land, because it gives you a bigger variety, better mm-hmm. wind. If you get one that they've wisened up on and they're not coming through and they're taking a different path, well, now you're jumping that other stand and they're going to walk right past you.
Or you could put out one, maybe two stands, and then get yourself a saddle.
Yeah, or just put out five stands, whatever.
You want to shoot it or let it walk?
Let her rip.
All right, Dan.
You got one.
Lay I do have me. One. Okay, so I showed you a picture. First, what would you score that deer?
Oh, geez.
Tomorrow.
Man, that's hard because of the circumference of that base, but
it's a very thick base. Just, I'll give you the backstory real quick. Put the camera out. Yesterday, I got several pictures, but one real nice one of this bad boy looking straight at us. It's a nice 8, but it's fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some girth on it.
It does.
The bases are
enormous. No width.
No width. It's straight up.
Not a whole lot of height.
No. But it still has another month and a half to grow, potentially. I'm just curious. I would say probably easy mid-130s.
You think so?
I would say so. 130, 135-ish.
See, I was going to guess 20s.
Yeah.
But I'm not good at that. And for the record, they...
Either am I.
They won't... They won't get back to me about me taking the class to become good at that. So
yeah, they're never going to let you become good at that.
So I just continue to not be good at it.
I guessed that because the first one I ever shot, I think was 132 or something like that. It was wider, but it wasn't as, like, the tines weren't as long, I don't think.
Well, there's a 130 class in the barn.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it as a comparison.
Yeah, we'll peek.
It's in the 130s, so... And give you a general idea.
Let's just go with 127. This one right now is sitting at 127.
Yeah. I don't see why not. And an eighth.
And an eighth. Yeah. I mean, it might even be three quarter. I don't know.
Give it the damn eighth that it deserves, you know.
Give it the eighth.
So shoot it or let it walk was the question.
Yeah.
And we talked about this pre-show.
The second pre-show.
Would you shoot it early October, mid-October, maybe even late October? Probably not.
No.
But when you get later in the season, and there's a good chance I might. And I think that question also depends on where you hunt and what you've got. You know? Because mm-hmm. a deer like that, to some, that's – one of the best quality deer they're going to get on their property. You know, we don't have the luxury of having hundreds and hundreds of acres where these deer live here year mm-hmm. to year to year. And
where we could let it grow.
You know, I'm going to keep that buck till next year and it'd be a better shooter next year. We don't have that option to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you have neighbors who don't subscribe to the let them grow theory either. So that's one of those deer that, just depending on your individual circumstances, whether or not you shoot it. But me personally, I probably would pass on it the first few times.
Yeah.
See what happens.
That's where I'm at. I've definitely, I mean, it get the heart going and you'd be like, ooh, you know, get a little excited. Maybe even grab the bow. You might even grab the bow. Not even saying you're going to lock on your release, but you're going to grab the bow and be like, whoa, and then you're going to let her bump.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, but late November, early December, and I got no meat in my freezer, mm-hmm. that son of a bitch going down.
And I was going to say, too, if that were my 16-year-old daughter or my 12-year-old son sitting on that deer and
going down,
they want to do it, I'm probably going to let it rip. Mm-hmm. You know, let them let it rip.
Drop that son of a bitch down like a $5 truck stop hooker.
Yep, and field dress it right in the middle of my food plot.
Boom, right in the food plot. So I don't even care.
Oh.
Spread the guts around for fertilizer, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Shoot it or let it walk for me. We got an email from, here's the name, Jam. J-A-M.
Jam.
Jam Bautista. I don't know if Jam is a real name or not, but that was the name on the email. Jam Bautista. Jam wants to know if, I don't know Jam's gender, so Jam wants to know if he or she can edit our podcasts. In quotes, for as low as $49.99 for four episodes.
You currently do it for free, don't you?
I currently don't even edit. Whatever we say is what goes live. It's what goes out into the interwebs.
Is Jam saying that we need to be edited?
This is on the... What happens with this podcast is we get done.
Yeah.
And I remove the little card out of the back of this machine we're recording on, and I put it into my laptop, and I upload that episode to our server.
Boom.
And there it is.
I mean, we don't make any mistakes, though.
You so get what you get.
What would you edit?
Like at the beginning of this episode when we were laughing at my dumbassness, that's on there.
Oh, that's there. We know what happened. So I just want to throw a quick story in that. When this was happening, I looked at Tim on a response that I was waiting on. He said, what I want to say is, and he looked, and I kind of thought Tim may have been having a stroke. And I said, Tim, you all right? And his response to me was, we're not recording. And then we laughed really hard, and I peed a little, and yeah. But it wasn't a stroke, so everything worked out pretty good.
My meat, I'm going to play with it.
Might as well. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Shit happens, Tim.
It does.
Yeah, I'm not holding you accountable for that.
I appreciate it.
It gave us some practice.
It was 15 minutes of just waste.
After 65 episodes, we needed practice to get the 66th correct or 67th, wherever we're at. We needed to get that one really good.
Unbelievable. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
You either love bacon or you're wrong. That's your get your eat on segment of this show. I don't really have anything to get your eat on with because I've been gone pretty much the whole week with Nashville. I haven't fired up the old smoker.
I didn't smoke shit, but I made something very tasty on Sunday. I made Parmesan. Oh, Lord, let me get this right. Parmesan garlic chicken mac and cheese.
That sounds amazing.
It was amazing.
That was gonorrhea.
It wasn't.
Is that what you call it, gonorrhea?
I was surprised that it wasn't. It was delicious. And it was easy. It was crock pot deal.
Yeah.
6 hours and boom, we were eating and it was really good.
It sounds really good.
Yeah. It's simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hell, I mean,
if I cooked it, it had to be simple.
Can't go wrong with a good old crock pot. You just set it and forget it.
You know? But that Parmesan garlic sauce from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yummy.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And there's some
awesome
fresh
sauce.
Parmesan in there.
Well, I usually fire up the smoker every Wednesday, which i.e. is today, but I don't think I'm going to get around to it. Too many other things to do. I've got to go over to UPS, and I've got to do all the weed eating out here, and the list goes on. So
can't.
Just
got to have priorities, Tim.
I'm tired of being busy.
Yeah. We're getting close.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm closer, but we're getting close.
Backwoods canine deer tracking, something we added last week. Usually it's about Miss Emmy Lou's progress.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything as far as progress goes. Not that we haven't been progressing. But I just wanted to share something that I learned.
What you learned?
I knew some of this. So unlike you and I, I'll use vegetable soup as an example, chili, vegetable soup, whatever.
Okay.
Okay, so you walk in the house and there's a big old pot of vegetable soup and they're rolling on the stove. You get your little smell of that, and you say, that's vegetable soup.
Yep.
You smell it as a whole, as one thing. These damn dogs smell all of that in layers. So that dog walks in and says, they don't say shit, but...
Could say.
If they could say it, they smell corn and beef and peas and broth. They smell every bit of that layer by layer by layer, where we smell it as one thing.
One smell.
So how that translates over into tracking deer is because I think there's 13, we talked about this last week, but there's 13 or 14, can't remember which, individual scents that are made up in a wounded deer, you know, within the blood and the organs and so forth. So those are all individual clues, just like the soup is an individual clue, each one of those pieces.
Hmm.
So depending on, this is the educational part here that nobody gives a shit but me. depending on the breed, dog's nose contains more than 200 million olfactory cells, which that's the cellular structure found in the lining of their nasal cavity. 200 million cells. Us, as humans, have 5 million.
200 million difference.
To 5 million.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That's at least double.
Close, anyway.
Give or take.
That's really close. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Let's dry fire our bows.
I've been hornswoggled.
What dry fires you, sir?
I'm sure I've hit it 100 times in these episodes. Local businesses. We got the roof thing going on. Well, not you personally.
Oh, okay.
But for the most part, like, I've told you about the roof situation, the insurance being dickheads, and us getting ready to just say we're getting a home loan and you can kiss my ass, State Farm, we're moving on. So last week, my wife gets a hold of this company. She's like, we got to do something, okay, because the one roof was leaking or the one room was leaking. So
slap right in the tits.
It was. So she gets a hold of this company. Oh, yeah, we'll be out there tomorrow. We'll take a look, blah, blah, blah. My wife's like, okay, great. No show, no call, no show. She calls them because I did not come here. We'll be there tomorrow. We'll be there tonight. Okay, great. Never came in at night. Never heard back from them. Nothing. So she talks to her dad, who is he's a repair guy. He's got his own little diamond construction business. He goes, hey, I got this guy. He does roofs. You know, call him. He also fights with insurance companies. He'll do all of it. Like, he'll call him and he'll be like, hey, this is what I found. This is what it is. I've been doing this 20 years. I'm willing to fight you for it. And he gets 80 to 90% of the cases, you know, paid for by insurance. So we're like, okay, great. That's fabulous. Saturday, never heard from him. Sunday, didn't hear from him. My wife calls him Monday. What's going on? The lady's like, oh, we're sorry. We had a busy weekend, blah, blah, blah. We'll be out there tomorrow. I told my wife, I said, I'm not staying home waiting for these sons of bitches. I don't give a shit. I said, I'm going to the gym, doing my thing, going to work. I don't care. She's like, well, that's fine. I told them to call me. They're from Salem. So she said, you know, that's about a 45-minute hour drive anyway. She goes, if they call and tell me they're on their way, that'll give me time to get my shit together and get out of work. I said, okay, good deal. I appreciate that one. Didn't show up. They called my wife around 3:00 and said, hey, we can't make it, but we're going to be out there tomorrow, which is said today. And my wife's like, well, if you're not, we're going to be out of town Wednesday or Tuesday. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it'll have to be next week. Like, oh, no, we're going to get out. My wife's like, I really want this done before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are today waiting on them to call her to say, hey, we're on our way, so she can go home and they can go take a look and do what they got to do. But
unbelievable, isn't it?
Digging with the insurance company now for 9 months, 10 months, whatever the hell it's been. Now we're 2 weeks deep on our third appraisal of the property. Now, the thing I don't understand is the insurance company already sent their adjuster out. He went up there and had to take the tarp off that our guy originally put on. He had to take the tarp off because he had a look. And then he half-assed put the tarp back on, which has since part of it blown off. I'm not going up there to re-screw it back in because then they'll be like, well, you put those holes in the roof, so now it's on you. So I said, nah. So he's already been out. never got anything back from what his findings were, or them calling back and say, ah, nah, bullshit, that roof's fine. Our guy said that, nothing. So now we're on the fourth and fifth people to look at this roof. And the first one just didn't show up. And that one's right there in Benton, so they can kiss my ass. And then this other company now, they're 4 days in, and we'll be out there to take a look and give you an estimate. And then, because, I mean, now the guy did say the first time he was going to go through the weather for the last year. I mean, this guy's researching shit, which is okay, whatever, and look for any heavy storms that we've had in the last year that he can direct damage to. I guess that's part of his, how I'm fighting this in court, or how I'm fighting this with the insurance company, which is great. But he still hasn't shown up. So we'll see if they show up today before we're gone for 4 days and have to wait till next week and start this bullshit process all over again.
How old did you tell me your roof was? It was young. It wasn't.
It's like somewhere between 8 and 12 years.
Okay, so entirely too new.
Yes.
To just be regular old wear and tear.
To be destroying the inside of my house because it's leaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's definitely not at that point.
Right.
And then the insurance company's like, well, if it's a natural, you know, just thing, like it's a 10-year-old roof, how could that be natural? How does a natural 10-year-old roof start leaking 10 years in, mm-hmm. 9 years in?
Shouldn't.
And it's normal.
Yeah, for what you pay for a roof, it shouldn't.
That wouldn't be normal wear and tear to me. If it was 19, 20, 22 years old, okay, I get some natural wear and tear, and okay, maybe we should have replaced it 5 years ago, but I'm not replacing an 8-year-old roof, 9-year-old roof, because it needs it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's just small businesses, fucking do your job. That's all I'm asking. Do your goddamn job. Get out and go get these estimates. Whether or not the work started tomorrow, as long as I know it's settled and we're going to have it done before winter, I'd be happy as a pig frolicking around in some shit. But
why does it got to be a pig? I frolic in shit all the time.
Well, pigs look happy, though.
It fires me up.
I've never seen you frolic in shit, so I don't know if you're really happy or not, but I know a pig is. So that's all I want. Go do your damn job.
Hallelujah, sir.
Yeah, thanks. What about you, Tim?
Well, mine's pretty simple because it's just a little one-liner here, but it is something in my entire life has never happened to me. I got bitch slapped by a bat.
I do like cats.
No, a bat.
A bat, not a cat. Okay. Not a cat.
I know you get all wound up when we mention cats, but it's a bat.
Did it bite you?
And... well, let's be real. I didn't get bitch slapped by it. That was my embellishment because it sounded better.
Sounds a lot better.
Yeah. It brushed my cheek.
Ooh.
With its wing when it flew by.
Ah.
So the story is I was mad last night about something. I don't remember what it was. So I went out on the back porch to
have a beer.
I wasn't, but just let off a little steam for a minute, and then I decided that I had to take a leak off the back porch.
Rocking a shirt with piss all over the bottom of it.
Exactly. So
good old days.
So I'm out there taking a leak, and all of a sudden, I could see it out of the corner of my eye because they buzz by you like mm-hmm. Mach 5, you know?
Yep.
And it shoots right by my face, and its freaking wing brushes my cheek. I'm like, holy... So I came in and told my wife that I got bitch slapped by a bat,
yeah.
Even though technically...
Were you in the process of a rock and a piss?
I was.
When it happened?
Yes.
Okay, that's even worse.
Yes.
Because now you're defenseless.
Correct.
Yeah.
So no, I did not get bit, but I did get brushed by a bat, or as I prefer to say it, bitch slapped by a bat.
I'm checking the neck from over here just to make sure, because it may have... Yeah. Bam, you know, hit it real quick while it slapped you in the face and threw you off.
You see that big lump that grew on my neck there? Like, I mean,
it's a big one.
Filled with pus.
Yeah, I don't think that's from the bat, though.
I've been drooling all morning. I don't know.
Are your teeth starting to get pointy?
No.
Does the sun bother you?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. It's happening. The conversion has begun. I'm getting out of here.
Speaking of getting out of here, let's do that.
I was wondering why it was cool in here and dark.
It's too hot. But
it's getting warm.
This property here, the bats galore out here, and I'm assuming just because we have the pond and mosquitoes are out here mm-hmm. heavy, you know.
Yep.
So they're all the time out here buzzing around. I never think anything about them. And
no one smacks you in
sometimes
the face.
They buzz pretty close. You know, I can actually feel them come by me occasionally, but I've never had them.
Bats are ugly little bastards.
You know, I've never been worried about them, you know. But
them things are ugly.
This one actually caught me on my cheek.
Right on the Did you scream like a bitch?
No.
I would have.
I was kind of shocked that it happened, actually.
I probably would have turned around, peed running into the house, screaming that I got attacked.
I was standing there thinking, did that really just happen? I mean, what the hell, you know?
You're a man amongst men, Tim.
Yeah. 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 A giant.
I'd have screamed like a bitch. And then probably went to the hospital to get a rabies shot, just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case, yeah. Did it bite you? No. Did it scratch you? No, but I'm getting rabies shots because it definitely touched me. I don't know where that son of a bitch has been.
Oh, well, both of today's Backwoods Bowhunter episodes can be found at backwoodsbowhunter.com. We're on the Facebook and the Instagram at Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast and on the Twitter. I always say Twitter.
Twitter?
I do that every week. On the Twitter.
Twitter.
At BWBH Podcast.
.com.
And you can contact us via email at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. Unless you're trying to solicit editing our podcast, Jam, I'm not interested.
Yeah, no. We get it done for free.
Please review. The only way we grow, that's the algorithms want to see reviews. So
share and like and review.
You have the opportunity, do it. And in closing, grab your bow and get after it.
Get your kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. The Backwoods Boys will take you back downrange for more bowhunting content.